start with a quick question then. Well, there's two questions for us to discuss this morning, or think about yourself. The first one is, what is your favourite thing about Christmas? And then the second one is, when was the last time something kept you awake at night? Like, in worry more than a child or an illness or something like that. Okay. So what's your favourite thing about Christmas? When was the last time something kept you awake at night? Off you go, discuss it or think about it. Boxing Day. Thanks, Ebenezer Scrooge in the corner. Christmas strikes me as a time of great contrast. Because on the one hand, we have all of these things that we really enjoy. Things like the carols and the food and who we spend it with, or we're all being over if you're Scrooge. But all of these things that we get really excited about. Things that are wonderful about Christmas. Things that cause us to want to celebrate. But at the same time, there seems to be an increased element of stress. Some of you are nodding. That maybe applies to some of us more than others. But it's a time of year that seems to be maybe more than others. Maybe. Seems to be one where there just seems to be just that little bit more stress. And I don't think I'm plucking this out of thin air. I think I've witnessed this because I have been to a shop in the last fortnight. And you can see it etched on the faces of the people shopping. And you can see it etched on the poor people who are trying to serve these hordes. There's something about Christmas that mixes beauty and celebration and excitement and joy and hope and peace with stress and things that worry us. Amy, if we could have the first picture back, that would be wonderful. Thank you. The one of the person looking worried. And we have these two things contrasted, and we get these two things contrasted in this passage from Luke that we've already read. Because Mary's stressed. And to be honest, I can't really blame her. It says here, the angel appeared to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled by this. Because no matter how good the news is from the angel, the truth is it's still an angel, and that would definitely scare me on a Tuesday morning. So she's understandably pretty frightened, especially because most of the people in the Old Testament, if they saw an angel, that tended to be the last thing that they saw. So Mary is understandably greatly troubled by this news, and there's all kinds of things that are worrying Mary. The story that we've read reflects our Christmas lives today. There's a combination of joy and hope and expectation and togetherness and good food and celebration. But at the same time, there's stress and there's worry and there's fretting. I think Mary teaches us something about how we deal with worry and how we deal with stress and how we deal with just feeling like everything's getting on top of us. So if we read this, the angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." If Mary can teach us one thing about dealing with worry, if you are feeling worried at the moment or stressed or a bit under the cosh or just feeling like everything is a bit on top of you, Mary shows us that you can choose to believe the word over the worry. You can choose to stand on something that God has said to you, or you can choose to be sunk beneath the weight of the million and one things that you have to do before the 25th of December. Mary believes the word over the worry because the angel says to her, "You who are highly favoured, you have found favour with God." If we are worried, if we are stressed, you have a choice as to whether or not you believe what God has said about you more than you believe what the worries are trying to tell you. And you are in good company if you need a little bit of reassurance. Because Jesus, who was himself God, and therefore you would have thought be quite a confident young individual, he gets baptized. But before Jesus can do anything, before he can go into ministry, before he can do anything of significance, even Jesus needed the reassurance from the Father in heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." If Jesus needs some reassurance every now and then that he's got a Father in heaven who loves him, then we can give ourselves a break if we forget it sometimes. We need to know, if you are dealing with stress, if you are dealing with worry, if you feel like everything is getting on top of you, you need to hear the word of the Lord that says, you who are highly favoured, you have found favour with God. For no word of God will ever fail. Before we do anything, before we worry and make a plan or try and meditate our way out of stress, you need to hear that you have found favour with God. That God loves you. That as we've heard this morning in that wonderful video, that God is with us, not against us. That God is standing alongside us. Augustine said, God loves each of us as though there were only one of us. And you can choose to believe the word over the worry. Which is easier said than done, isn't it? Because there are so many things in our life, so many things in our life that are kind of designed to make us worry. Like, all the time, advertising executives are paid very good money to create adverts that at the start of the advert make you very worried, and then by the end of the advert say, unless you buy this product, and then all will be well. That's literally their job. And so if you are engaging with any kind of media, be that a newspaper to YouTube, you are going to be peppered with messages that are designed to make you worry. There's all of these voices trying to get us to feel a little bit more stressed. I know this is the case because I think I've shared this before, because it was the best thing on TV this year, probably aside from Bake Off, which is always the best. But the other best thing was Old People's Home for 4-year-olds. Yeah, anyone see this? I think I shared it. It was so good. It was just wonderful. Like, they took a load of 4-year-olds and they took them into an old people's home and they just loved it, and the kids learned something and the old people, and it was so whole. It was just wonderful television. Wonderful. You should watch it. It's probably on Catch Up, isn't it? Probably on, I don't know, Netflix or something. I don't know. You find your way to it. 4-year-olds in a care home. But I'll tell you what, the reason why I've shared this before, I know at church, and one of the things that really impacted me, there was a woman there who was about, don't know, late 80s or something, 90s. She's in a home designed to look after her. There are staff members, 24/7, whose job it is to make sure she is okay. She is in a home that has been designed to minimise risk. You've gone into this home and she sits in a chair, and to be fair to her, like, it was very sad, but most of her life was spent going between her bed and her chair, and then to go and eat meals and then go. That was about it, okay? There is not a lot of risk involved in what she did. She has got carers, she's got people around her. The whole environment of her life was designed to minimise danger. Do you know what they asked her? Are you worried? She said yes. You think, why? What is there in your life to worry about? Everything you could possibly want is available to you. Food and drink and friendship and people to look after you. But she's still worried because there's still that sense of the unknown. Because she still hears the voices that tell her to worry. It's difficult, isn't it? It must have been difficult for Mary. You can imagine the voices coming into Mary, who was probably about 13 at the time. As this angel tells you, you're about to be pregnant. I mean, imagine the voices that come into Mary's head. The things that she has to worry about. Like, how on earth do I look after a child? Which is a worry I have pretty much every day. How on earth am I going to look after this thing? But also, how are my family going to respond when I tell them I'm pregnant? If any of you have either been through or know people who have gone through surprise pregnancies, that is a distinct worry in a lot of people. How am I going to tell my family about this? How am I going to tell my friends? What are my community going to be? All of these worries that are going into Mary's head. And she chooses to believe the word over the worry. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. Mary demonstrates that within our lives there are all kinds of worry, and they're on a kind of scale. Right? So if I said to you, what's the most worrying thing? Apparently in the States, one of the top 5 things that people worry about is the health of their pet. Let me tell you, if the health of your pet is in the top 5... Oh, that one's gone. I'll get another one. Just get another one. If one of the top 5 things in your life that you are worried about is the health of your pet, then you have got a very easy life, okay? Like, if Bumbles the hamster has got, like, the flu, then you've got a very cushy life, if that is the biggest thing you have to worry about in your life. There are some things in our life that we just don't need to worry about. And as we pray to them, or as we share them with a mate, or we go and, look, guys, I'm really worried about this, they have every right to tell you, turn around and say, stop worrying about that. That is not important. Let me give you an example from this story we've just read. This is the angel that turns up to Mary. Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Mary is nervous about the type of greeting that the angel is bringing her. That is not an important worry. That's not an important worry. And so the angel says to her, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. Sometimes in our life, we just need to stop worrying about it because it really doesn't matter. But there are other worries. There are other worries that are serious. Like when the angel says, you are about to have a baby. Now that is a serious worry. That is something, and some of us in our lives have got things that are significantly stressing us out, and they're doing so with good reason. But I like this is what happens. Mary says, how is this going to happen since I'm a virgin? She's all stressed. How on earth are we going to get through this? How is this thing going to happen that you've promised? And the angel gives her a plan. The angel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Sometimes we have worries that are not important, like whether your hamster has the flu. Stop worrying about it. It will be okay in the end. Sometimes we have worries where we need God to give us a plan. It's a legitimate worry. It's something that's stressing us out. And we need God's inspiration and God's guidance to say, this is a way forward for you. This is how you can go forward. I'm giving you a plan. And then there are some worries that you can't really plan for. Like, how on earth do I look after this child? When Mary kind of accepts that she's going to have a child, I'm sure she's still worried. And so what does she do? She chooses to trust God. That even though this worry is significant, and even though she can't have a plan right now, she chooses to believe that the God who has brought her this far is not going to leave her there. She chooses to believe the word over the worry. I am the Lord's servant. So be it to me. May your word to me be fulfilled. And as the angel says, no word from God will ever fail. Some of you are listening to this and thinking, this does not apply to me at all, because I'm not worried. Good. I hope I've not made you worried by talking about it. That's wonderful. If that is you, then you are Elizabeth in this story. Because what Mary does, what most of us do, I suppose, when we're stressed out with something, is that we go to our family, don't we? That's kind of a natural response. If you're stressed out about something, you run to your family, the people closest to you, your best friends. And so Mary, understandably, runs to Elizabeth, who's her cousin, and she's greeted by Elizabeth. I must admit, if I was Elizabeth in this story, I would not be very happy. Just to paint you a picture, I mean, okay, let me put it another way. Have any of you had people in your life that no matter what you do, they always seem to do something a little bit better than you? Like, just a little bit. Charity's looking at me as though she's the one doing better than me. Is that... like, you've got that really exciting bit of news, haven't you? And you're really proud of it. I don't know, maybe when you were a kid and you came home and you were like, oh, mummy, daddy, my teacher was really proud of this bit of work. And then you turn to your elder sibling who's just awarded a prize by the newspaper for doing something brilliant. Like, that kind of level. Like, you're really proud of yourself because you've managed to buy yourself a new car. And you drive it home and then your neighbour pulls up in a Mercedes. Like, that... that kind of thing where everything you do, it just feels like someone else is always just doing like one up on you. You've managed to get a date and then your older sibling has just got engaged. Or you've managed to get a promotion and then I get a text of my mate being like, I've just been made CEO of this new company. That level. I feel for Elizabeth. Elizabeth has spent a long time trying to get pregnant. She's gone to the doctors or the equivalent and they've said, it's not happening for you, love. And after all of these years of heartache and trying, eventually, she falls pregnant. You can imagine how ecstatic she is. She can't wait to see Mary to tell her the good news. And when she sees Mary, and I don't really know why the angel has to tell Mary, but anyway, when she eventually gets to see Mary, to share this good news, I'm pregnant, Mary somewhat trumps it with, I'm pregnant too, and the child is the Son of God. I mean, just a little way of like trumping the good news story, isn't it? Like, it's great you're pregnant, but my child is literally the saviour of the universe. So let's put things into perspective. You've got to feel sorry for Elizabeth. If you are here this morning and you do not feel like you are particularly worried or stressed, let me tell you, there will be people in your life who are. And when you meet those people, you have a choice as to whether to be jealous of their successes or moan about the fact that they don't have much to worry about, or you can choose to be like Elizabeth. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. There are people in our lives who are going through stuff. They don't need our judgment. They don't need our envy. They just need our support. They don't need us to tell them, well, that's not a very good time to get pregnant, is it, ma'am? They don't need us to tell them, well, how on earth are you going to look after this child? Mary doesn't need Elizabeth to take Joseph's side. Mary doesn't need Elizabeth to even come up with a plan. Mary just needs Elizabeth to be there and to support her and to celebrate her successes. There will always be people in our lives who we feel are doing better than us. And we can choose to respond with envy, or we can celebrate with them. There'll be people in our lives who we feel are going through some tough stuff, and we can choose to respond with judgment, or we can choose to respond with comfort and support. And Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear. Why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? We could have the next one, please. Thanks. For Amy, she moves from worry, she trusts in the word, and then she worships. If you're stressed and worried this morning, you might just need to be told, seriously, it doesn't matter. You might need someone to pray with you so God will give you a plan to move forward. You might just need to know that you've got God with you. And all of us have got these people in our lives. They don't need us to fix it. They certainly don't need us to judge it. But they do need us to support them and celebrate with them. Who can you be an Elizabeth to this Christmas time? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as we celebrate Christmas, we see a God who draws close to us, who doesn't distance himself from our worries and our stresses, but becomes fully human. We ask that we will be able to give you our worries, to cast our burdens onto you, Jesus. Father, when we need a plan, will you give it to us by your divine inspiration? God, where we need to know your presence, may we know Emmanuel, God with us. And I ask that all of us would act like Elizabeth. We wouldn't be envious, we wouldn't be judgmental. We would get alongside those who have got exciting news and celebrate. We would get alongside those who are worried and stressed and support them through it. May we model the Christ-like nature of Christmas. May we model something of Jesus, the God who comes close, as we walk with those alongside us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to stand and sing our final.